Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called, Could Your Child's ADHD Really Be Allergy-Related and Completely Treatable? And more with Dr. Doris Rapp. As an allergist and pediatrician, Dr. Doris Rapp says traditional medicine mostly just looks for ways to treat problems instead of figuring out what's causing them. But she says if someone has a nail in their shoe, you wouldn't just continually put bigger and bigger band-aids on the wound. You would tell them to take the nail out of the shoe already. And that's what Dr. Rapp is trying to do with her medical practice. So in this audio interview, you'll hear why she believes many of the symptoms lumped under ADHD are really allergy related, how to figure out what is triggering them, and how to stop the allergy attacks, along with many other ways our environment and the things we eat have an effect on our health. You'll also learn in this interview a quick test to see if your child's hyperactivity is food allergy related and the only known way to find and eliminate the foods causing it. You'll learn a quick baking soda recipe that will stop allergy-related ADHD symptoms dead in their tracks. You'll hear the only air purifier she recommends because it takes out 3,000 chemicals and actually works. You'll hear the scary side of buying a new house, a used mattress, or secondhand clothes. You'll hear about how everyone knows the importance of buying organic food nowadays, but if you think it's simply out of your budget, here are Dr. Rapp's top four ways you can afford it. You'll hear about the most common allergies to look out for and the surprising reactions they can cause. You've probably never guessed these are allergy reactions and not behavioral problems. You'll learn the shocking study that shows most schools use chemicals that cause cancer and damage the nervous system and what you can do about it. Dr. Rapp says although we can see ADHD, cancer, autism, and more on the rise, no one seems to be paying attention to what's causing it. They're mostly concerned with how to treat them. Our environment is full of chemicals. They're in our foods, mattress, carpets, and even the products we use to clean. And in this audio interview, you'll hear the relationships those chemicals have to your health, why you need to be concerned, and all about the allergy-related ADHD. So you can be more informed and start removing the nail from your shoes already. Ready. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. We are so excited to have Dr. Doris Rapp with us today. She is the author of the best-selling book, Is This Your Child? And Is This Your Child's World? And Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call. Dr. Rapp, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be here tonight.
You have had tremendous experience in diagnosing all sorts of behavior problems in children and adults due to allergies and environmental toxins. And one of the things I want to start with today is the question of ADD and ADHD, which I'm sure you can tell us a lot about.
Number one is, how can you tell if your child has it? Well, many times these children are hyperactive, but there's some other clues that tell you that this might be due to allergies. And that means it might be very easy to treat. You take a good look at them. Just before they get hyperactive, do their ears get fiery red? Do their cheeks get fiery red? Do they get wiggly legs? Do they switch like a dime? All of a sudden, they're out of sight, and 3 minutes ago, they were sweet as pie. That is typical of ADHD children that are reacting. And if you immediately give them 1 to 2 teaspoons of baking soda, and a half a glass of water, a quarter glass of water. You can put in some honey if you feel it. They won't drink it. And that will help stop that kind of reaction very, very quickly. Because sometimes these allergic reactions, when they've had a red-dyed sugary pop or something, will go on for hours and hours and hours and hours. And during that period of time, some of them become withdrawn and hide under the table, but others become very aggressive, very hyperactive. Some of them hit and kick and write in a bizarre way, ripping the paper and things of that sort. What can you do about it? Well, as I said, you can give them the baking soda to help right away. But what you really have to do is figure out what caused it. What did they eat? What did they touch? What did they smell that was different about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to an hour before the change occurred? And if you start to do that, you're going to figure out, oh, it's only after he eats his food, it's only after he smells this perfume, or he smells this disinfectant or deodorant. It's only if he gets into some place that's moldy or dusty. Dust, mold, food, pollen, and chemicals can trigger off ADHD. In other words, if the pollen count is high, some children don't get hay fever or asthma, they get hyperactive, and people don't recognize it. And all too often, parents think they might have a bad, dumb, lazy, hyperactive child, when in essence they have a child with a missed form of allergy. And many times the parents feel that they're inadequate in some way because they can't control it, or the school or the officials in various forms sort of blame the parents and indicate that it may be their fault that they're not controlling these children well enough, they're disciplining too firmly. Trust me, if you have a lot of allergies in your family and you have allergic relatives and you have a child with allergies and that child has a behavior, activity, or learning problem, it could be solely due to an allergy. Now, how can you get rid of it very, very quickly and very easily and not spend a penny? The answer is to go on an allergy-free diet. There's a diet that excludes milk, wheat, eggs, chocolate, corn, and sugar. And you can say, what can I eat? And I say, lots of meats and fruits and vegetables. You can still eat all you want. And you just go off of these for a week. Now, what happens? The first 2 or 3 days, your child may be irritable, have a headache or a bellyache, and be very touchy because they actually have withdrawal symptoms. They're a food addict, and if they don't get their favorite food, they are apt to have some symptoms. But by the 5th to the 7th day, they should be the best that they have ever been, or the best they've been in ages. You'll just say, it's a new kid in the old body. I can't believe it. He said he's going to go and clean up his room. There's an altogether difference in how they act. And then the 2nd week, you find out the answers. If your child is better in the end of the 1st week, it means unquestionably that child has a food allergy. And then you add the foods back one at a time, one each morning on an empty stomach, and watch and see what happens for the next hour. Most food reactions occur in an hour, and most chemical reactions occur within seconds. So if you think your child is reacting to the smell of perfume, it'll happen in just a few seconds or a minute or two, whereas if it's a food or dust or mold or pollen that's causing the hyperactivity, and they can all do it, then it means it'll happen probably in about 15 to 60 minutes. So the 2nd week, add back the food. The 1st day, they get a lot of milk on an empty stomach, and the 2nd day, sugar, and the 3rd day, bread, and the 4th day, eggs. And you just add back the food and see which ones cause which, and you're going to be very surprised because the day you add back, for example, the food coloring, you may find that your child wets the bed that night because food dyes, fruit juices, and milk frequently cause things. And you'll find that different foods will affect different areas of the body.
And so how quickly do you see a reaction once you add the food back, usually?
Well, it's usually 15 minutes to an hour. Now, occasionally you'll have delayed reactions. For example, if apple juice is causing you to wet the bed, you'll have the apple juice in the day or in the evening, and you'll wet the bed that night. So that's a delayed reaction. Colitis, bowel problems are frequently delayed. What's called aphthous ulcers or sores in your mouth are delayed, and those may be delayed 12 hours, 24, 48 hours after you eat them. The most common delayed food reaction is when you get recurrent ear infections or fluid behind the eardrums caused by milk or dairy. And if you go off the milk and dairy for, say, a week, and then you have a lot of milk on an empty stomach and it causes ear problems, within 1 to 2 days you will have a classical serous otitis with fluid behind the eardrum, and you'll wonder where it came from, and it was the milk that you binged on 2 days before. One other very important tip. The food you crave the most, but this is only if you have a food allergy. If you write down your 5 favorite foods and 2 favorite beverages and you have a food allergy, you just wrote down whatever is causing your food allergy. And if you go off of those foods for a week and add them back one at a time, you'll quickly see what's going on.
And you've seen that without exception?
Oh, it's very common. It's very common. I've been in practice over 40 years, and I can tell you I've seen thousands of patients that have the kind of trouble that I'm telling you about and the kinds of symptoms within the period of time. And as I said, if they have a reaction to a food, you give 1 to 2 teaspoons of baking soda. It's not going to hurt them. And enough water, dilute it, enough water so they'll swallow it. Add a little honey if they won't drink it. And that'll help stop the reaction right away.
That's fascinating, that writing down the several foods. You know, I can name mine, like, right off the bat.
You can have an allergy to a food and gain weight much too quickly. And when you're off of dairy and wheat, you'll find that all of a sudden, just go off of one for a week, and you may find you've lost 5 or 10 pounds in the week. It's amazing how allergies cause you to retain fluid, and you'll have sudden weight gains of 5 and 10 pounds on a weekend. And you'll say, what's going on? I didn't eat that much this weekend. It's not how much you eat, but how sensitive you are to it and what kind of an effect it has on you that determines whether you react to it or not. But many people have figured out the food disease the way that I just told you.
Is that why so many people crave ice cream? I mean, you mentioned stopping ice cream, and a lot of people get really upset about that.
Okay, let me tell you something about it. When you crave dairy, you absolutely love all dairy, but bet that you are sensitive to it. If you had a lot of formula problems as an infant, you're probably allergic to milk, and you're probably still allergic to milk as you grow older. And milk tends to cause a lot of ear infections. It causes a lot of abdominal complaints. It causes a lot of asthma. Most people do not realize that allergies can affect absolutely any area of the body. And it could cause your bladder to go into spasms so you wet the bed. It can cause your blood vessels to go into spasms so you have high blood pressure and irregular pulse. And it can cause specific areas of your brain to be affected. So I have children, for example, right before they eat and right after an hour later. And if they ate a food to which they are allergic and the area of the brain is affected that has to do with writing, they can't write their name. Try it, you'll see. Have children write before a birthday party and after an hour at the birthday party. You'll find some of them that are allergic to the junk foods and the foods that they really love can't write. And it means that area of the brain has been affected. Other children, it's the frontal lobe, the forehead area of the brain that's affected. And so they will totally lose control if they eat certain foods. And these aren't bad kids. These are kids that have an allergy that hasn't been recognized. Many times they'll put on terribly powerful drugs. They might have a food allergy causing hyperactivity. At the age of 3 and 4, they're sometimes put on some of these drugs that haven't been set for children. And they find that the children have heart attacks, strokes, and actually die from some of these drugs that are so powerful. It's amazing to me what is going on. They should never be put on a drug unless you've tried to diet first.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Why aren't physicians, I mean, you'd think that this is the first thing they would know about and tell people about. What's the big gap there?
I don't know what the problem is, because I've been spouting this since I found out about it. I was a traditional allergist and a well-trained pediatrician giving the board exams in pediatrics and allergy. And when I first heard about some of this, I said, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's absolutely no way that that area of the body could be affected by a food. And I was just trained that way. And unfortunately, they're still training the doctors in the same way. There are doctors that don't believe that foods can cause asthma, or that foods can cause a congestion or chronic sinus problem or chronic constipation. I try to write books that are actually very stupid simple. It just says, this is how you can tell if your child's reacting by looking at them. This is how you can figure out if it's dust, mold, pollen, a food, or chemical. And this is what you can do on a short-term basis that's expensive. Here's what's going to cost you a little more money. Here is what might cost you even more money. For example, some children, it isn't a food at all causing hyperactivity. They are hyperactive because they got into dust, they went into a moldy place that smells of mold, or they smelled a chemical. And nobody puts 2 and 2 together. And I keep saying, watch your child. Your child's perfect. And all of a sudden, they're out of sight. Why? What did they eat? What did they touch? What did they smell? And if you can figure out the cause, then if you think it's the food, you can try the diet. If you think it's dust or mold or pollen or a chemical, there's an air purifying machine that I recommend very highly. It's called the Austin. But this air purifier, they all take out about the same amount of dust, mold, and pollen. They take out 99.4%. The difference is the chemicals. The Austin air purifier takes out 3,000 different chemicals. And chemicals are a terrible problem right now in our world because it's in our air, in our food, in our water. It's in our bodies. And it's one reason why we have so much cancer, diabetes, thyroid disease, why we have so many hyperactivity behavior disordered children, why we have so much autism. These chemicals have really messed up our world, and most people aren't even thinking about it. They don't check the blood of these children to find out if they have abnormal levels of chemicals and then say, where were they exposed to that chemical? You could move into a house where they used a powerful dermaticide like Chlordane before 1988. It's still got Chlordane in that house now. And that chemical we know causes cancer. You know, everyone says, why does everybody have cancer now? It's because nobody is paying attention to what causes it. The emphasis is all on how am I going to treat it? And they treat it and you seem fine and then it comes back. Why does it come back? Because you're still sleeping on the same mattress that contains the chemical that causes the cancer. You've still got the same synthetic carpet that causes the cancer. And so I wrote a whole book on this called Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call. And it will tell you what is causing this diabetes, thyroid disease epidemic, cancer epidemic that we have. We have to start to think about why is somebody sick? Where are they when they're sick? And what could be causing the trouble? Remember, if you have a nail in your shoe causing a sore on your foot, the answer isn't a big Band-Aid. Somebody has to say, damn it, let's take out the nail. A lot of medicine is common sense. I should be educating in schools what I'm telling you right now. People can start to realize the importance of what they eat and they drink and they smell, the importance of the clothes they wear. For example, say you wear dry, clean clothes all the time. You increase tremendously your chances of getting cancer because the chemicals that they use for dry cleaning causes cancer. You never want to put freshly dry clean clothes in closets because it causes cancer. You wonder why your dog gets cancer? They get cancer for the same reason you get cancer. You're feeding them food with a toxin. You are using a flea spray on them or a flea collar that has a chemical that causes cancer. Am I scaring you too much?
Yeah, well, no, you're reminding me because I used a flea collar many, many years ago, and then just recently I came across something that mentioned what that actually has and what it's emitting in your environment, and it was terrifying. I couldn't believe they sell that.
Well, this is the problem, is that there isn't enough awareness. 20 years ago, I had flea collars on my dogs, and I gave them flea baths. 35 years ago, I worked in a veterinary hospital, and I was actually using the chemicals in the dogs and washing them with it and cleaning them off with it and cleaning the cages with a phenol solution. These pine-scented cleaning solutions and nice-smelling cleaning solutions, they contain phenol, which causes cancer. In fact, the chemicals that we use around our house for cleaning things and disinfecting, I don't want to mention the name, the most common one that you can think of causes cancer, and if you use it to clean the cages of animals when you're doing medical research, you can't use it because the animals will develop cancer. Why the hell isn't everybody told this? Why are they allowed to continue to put it out in the market? Why isn't the government protecting them? I haven't got the answers. All I can say is I have a big mouth, I write books, and I try to tell people what it is that's causing these terrible illnesses, because I think too many people have a lifetime of just hardship and agony and financial problems and medical problems because they didn't realize that certain things can make them sick. And they weren't told by anybody, don't use that pesticide in your house or that pesticide around your house or that herbicide on your lawn, because your children will have a sixfold increased chance of developing leukemia, a lymphoma, by the age of 7 years. And don't go near chemicals if you're pregnant, ladies, for the first 3 months, because there's a 70% chance of you having a miscarriage, a stillborn, or a defective baby. These are things that ought to be common knowledge that we ought to be teaching in schools, so at least the people can make an informed decision. Do I want to get near that or don't I want to get near that?
To me, I have great concerns about the kind of foods that we're serving our children. It's almost the first time in human history, you know, that we've had this kind of chemical assault, really. I've been spending time in the lunchroom lately at school, and it was very interesting. There's one little guy that is very hyper and never stops touching other kids and poking other kids. And I looked at his lunch, and it was like, oh, my goodness, it was a Twinkie. It was a chocolate pudding. It was some kind of chip thing. There you go.
I want to make a suggestion. If you want to find out which kids in the class are having food problems, have a party. Or you have parties for Valentine's Day, Halloween. Have them write their name before and then have them have their junk foods and the party foods and have them write their name an hour later. If the frontal lobe, the forehead area is affected, they will be out of sight, hyperactive, or crawling under the furniture and hiding and getting very upset if you touch them, becoming angry, crying, moody. If it, however, affects the brain that has to do with writing, then they won't be able to write their name in an hour. And if you see that there's a dramatic change, then the parents ought to be informed about the fact that maybe their child has a food allergy and they might want to go off of all the junk food for a week. And then early in the morning, particularly on a weekend when they can see what's going on, have them give on an empty stomach a sugar cube. And the next day have them give ice cream. And the next day have them give a red dyed sugared liquid. They'll see what happens to their child because the child's whole future may depend on that parent figuring out that that thing sets their child off. And that little boy that gets out of control, he's going to do something to hurt somebody or hurt himself, and he's going to get in trouble and told he's a bad boy, and you're going to have psychological problems within 3 to 5 years because this kid is not acting like the other children.
For more interviews with the world's top health and medical experts, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. So what is the mechanism? What's happening when you're getting these kind of severe behavior reactions to foods and things? What's happening there in the brain?
Well, chemicals are being released in your brain, and these chemicals cause you to act in a different way. And I think the problem is that we have all these chemicals in our food, in our air, in our water, in our clothing, and in our homes. And we have to start saying, enough already, I'm going to buy cotton clothes. I'm going to get a water purifier so my water is clean. I'm going to get an air purifier so I can clean up the air. And I'm going to buy organic food. And you're going to say, I can't afford organic food. And I'm going to say, oh, yes, you can. Let me tell you. You grow your own food. You talk to the neighbors and have a community garden in the area where you live, and everybody does the work and everybody shares the crop. You go to a farmer that's organic and say, I'm willing to come here and help you when you're planting and when you're weeding and when you're picking the crop if you will give me part of the crop. And the fourth thing you can do is join an organic co-op and work there half a day a week so you can buy the things at a discount. There are things that you can do.
So, Dr. Rapp, for parents that are trying to think about, okay, trying this idea of the food diet, what are some of the common allergens that cause hyperactivity?
The two most common, bar none, are sugar and red dyes. You can put 3 drops of food coloring under the tongue, you know, the one that you use for Christmas and holidays for decorating cookies. Put it under the tongue, 3 drops, and if your child is allergic to it, within a few minutes, your child's going to go hyper and give them baking soda if that happens. Try to avoid sugar for about 5 days and give them 8 sugar cubes on an empty stomach with clear water, and you will see a dramatic effect. But the thing that people don't understand is sometimes it's milk, ice cream, whipped cream. Sometimes it's eggs. Sometimes it's bread. Sometimes it's chocolate. Sometimes it's corn. Dextrose, corn syrup is what's in it. And sometimes it's preservatives that cause it. But it could be any food in any individual. And that's why I say, just start to keep records. My child was fine a half hour ago. And he just ate 3 things, and now look at him. He's all over the place. And many times they get aggressive, but sometimes they crawl in dark corners and they don't want to be touched. They say, nobody loves me, and you go to touch them and they pull away and you feel hurt. That's the way some people react. And I might add, That's the same way adults react. And so your honey might be lovey and kissy one day, and the next day you don't want that person to get anywhere near you. You get very, very touchy about that. And that, to me, usually indicates they're having an allergic reaction to something they ate or touched or smelled just prior to the time that there was a change in how they acted.
And so, Dr. Rapp, if people want to find out more information, why don't you go ahead and give them your website so they can find out all the wonderful resources you have there.
My website is drrapp.com. There's all kinds of tips on there and all kinds of things. There are studies shown that 60 to 70% of schools in this country use chemicals in the schools that damage the brain, the nervous system, and cause cancer. Why would you send your child to a school that's using a disinfectant, deodorant, cleaning material, substances in the school that damage their brain and their nervous system? Well, nobody would. But again, the parents have no idea. They spend their whole life trying to protect their children and raise them the best they can and keep them away from things that are harmful. And then they send them into a school where they're giving them genetically engineered milk and where they're cleaning the bathrooms with toxic substances that are known to cause all kinds of problems if anybody bothers to look into it. I have a whole book on this that really tells it all the way it is. It's called Is This Your Child's World? And the other thing that I have is very valuable, and it's a 70-minute DVD, and it actually shows real children how they act and how they write, how their writing can change, and it shows how dust, mold, pollen, foods, and chemicals can affect children and adults. And these two things, I guarantee, will help you protect your family and your child. Most in the medical profession are not going to rule out allergies as a cause of your illness. And the thing that astounds me is allergy is so much more than hay fever and asthma and itchy skin. Arthritis, you look on my website and you're going to see a woman that develops arthritis from eating bread, and we figured out it was the yeast in the bread that caused it. You'll see another young man that's suicidal during the pollen or the mold season. You can become depressed from eating certain foods. You can have chronic headaches, chronic belly aches. You can have problems in how you walk and you talk, all from foods and how you act and behave, or from chemicals, the dust, the mold, or pollen. And this is what my DVD shows, that all of these things can cause any area of your body to be sick and not function properly. And the answer is to take one pill after another, even if your insurance pays for it. You want to get well. Figure out what the nails are in your shoes that are making you sick and take them out. If you read my books all on your own without seeing anybody, you're going to be able to frequently figure out exactly what's making you sick. And you take it away from you if you can get away from it. If it's a food, you don't eat it. If it's your perfume, you stop using it, whatever it is. And you get better, and then you add it back, and you get worse. You got an answer. So either you stop going near it, or you're going to be sick unless you get treatment from somebody that knows how to treat foods and chemical sensitivities. And there aren't a lot of those around. You have to find a specialist in environmental medicine. Let me give you one other tip. If you have a pest in your house like mosquitoes or cockroaches or something like that, and you want to get rid of them, there's a whole book that you can get for nothing. It's called TheBestControl.com. He has a free book on safe pest control. And the other thing I want to tell you is I'd be very cautious about vaccines. I'm sure most people aren't. But if you read the book by Sherry Tenpenny, which says say no to vaccines, she gives you all the facts and figures, and for many, many years, vaccines seem safe, but I must say that a lot of people might disagree with me, but I definitely feel they're a factor in some of the many children's autism. I'd be very careful of them right myself.
What do you think about the DAN protocol for autism?
Well, I think that helps many patients. There's no doubt about it, and they rule out the metabolic things and all the other factors. But sometimes it's nothing but a food. I've seen children that have gone on a milk or a dairy-free diet, and in 1 week their autism is gone. Why isn't that being done first before anything else that's expensive and a bunch of lab tests and all that stuff? go off of all milk and dairy for a week and then go off of all wheat products for a week. These are simple things that you can do in 1 week to give you an answer that won't cost you a penny.
And now, can people go back to eating these foods, or is this a lifetime thing?
There are ways that you can do that. Say you're allergic to grapes. Every time you eat a grape, you swell up and you have all kinds of problems, but you don't end up in a hospital. You're just uncomfortable, and you don't look so great. Well, if you want to eat grapes, I would go off of grapes for a month, and then I would start eating grapes. I'd have a half a grape. 4 days later, I'd have one full grape. 4 days after that, I'd have two grapes. 4 days after that, I'd have eight grapes. 4 days after that, 16 grapes. In other words, you build it up slowly. If you raise it too fast, you have trouble again. You have to stop it again for about a month, and you have to go up more slowly. But you can treat yourself for many food allergies by eating them only every 4 days. It's called the rotation food diet. If you get my book, you can figure out how to do it. Incidentally, they're putting very toxic chemicals in mattresses now, so you must be very careful if you buy a new mattress that it does not contain flame retardants that cause cancer. There's a law they must put in flame retardants, but when they were passing the law, they didn't have enough sense to say you can't use toxic things, and they've got chemicals in mattresses now that definitely cause cancer.
Is that true for flame retardant sleepwear for children also?
I wouldn't go near flame retardant anything. There's no doubt, and we have so much flame retardant chemicals around that newborn babies now have 287 toxic chemicals in their blood.
Scary stuff, but, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of hope, too. Like, there's a lot people can do.
Oh, if you know causing the problem and you avoid it, you can get off of drugs. People take seizure medicines and heart medicine for years because they never stop what's causing it. I've known people that have all sorts of heart effects, and they figured out it was chocolate. They were eating chocolate, their heart didn't, and they could stop the heart medicine. It can sometimes be coffee. In fact, coffee and tea are two of the most common causes of chronic unexplained illness. That it was frequently to the coffee that they're drinking every day. And if they stop coffee for a week, they will be irritable and miserable for the first 3 or 4 days. But by the end of the first week, they may feel better than they felt in 20 years. Of the listeners that are listening, there are many of them that never really feel good. They haven't felt good for so long, they've forgotten how well they feel. If they just went off coffee for a week, it isn't going to hurt them, but they will need somebody around them that's tender and loving for the first 4 days and forgiving because they're going to be bitchy. After the first 4 days, they'll feel better and better and better. And then if they drink a cup of coffee, they'll see how much they change and how bad it is for their body. I forgot one thing to say. Allergies don't fall far from the tree. If your child's allergic to milk or wheat or dust or corn or whatever it is, there are other members of the family that have the same problem, but they may have different symptoms. Put them on the same diet. Do diets and do allergy environmental control in the whole family, and you'll usually find that several members of the family will be improved. And then you add back the food, and you'll find one food is a problem, and they've traced some food allergies, such as those due to milk and dairy products, through 5 generations, with 5 generations having asthma or epilepsy or some crazy thing. There's a lot of good stuff out there. It's just a shame that so many people don't know that there's so many wonderful ways to diagnose and treat allergies and take care of them.
Thank you, Dr. Rapp. We look forward to talking with you soon.
Anytime.
That's the end of our interview with Dr. Dolores Rapp. I hope you found it helpful. For more great interviews on health, wellness, marketing, and business, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.